Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org today, Wednesday, Valentine's Day, February 14th. My guest today is Dez Hope. You can check him out at myspace.com/DEZHOPE. We're going to listen to a track from CD he brought in. Then we'll do some interviewing and some acoustic live performance from Dez Hope. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Just to feel like you used it. And I'm so tired of losing time, but blame myself because I'm the only one seeing the choices I'm choosing. Fusing together, music with weather. Sick of California, but it's hard to fuck with better places. Sweeter faces, a city map full of mazes. Get you lost trying to trace it. Drawing dreams on your legs, it makes sense to break a couple legs in the process. It's like a mosh pit, running around in circles, acting like you've lost it. The cost of freedom makes you go a little crazy. Amazing what you see at bus stops when the love stops, baby. I'm going insane, I'm feeling the pain, man. I'm going insane.
Why on earth we gotta play with all from you love? I've sold out my trust just to say we should never hesitate to look behind us, smiling as we walk away, reminding me of Saturday when things are the way they should be. Reminding me of Saturday.
Myself teetering the fine line in the divine search for happiness, son. God, but find me and nothing else. Justify by calling your discovery yourself, you know. Ordinary practices, avoid us on the mattresses. And you know, you get to the point where all you think about is you know you. But I'm proud and I miss my mama too. I'm worried my little nephew's growing up without a clue on how to be a man with the only man in his life, his crack daddy. And there's hope for the mic. Me, I'm too busy stargazing for my name and lights, always preaching that tomorrow I'm gonna make it right. And his father, yo, you know what he's fucking like, the kind of man that would dare steal his son's bike, just throw a kid, sprinkle him inside his crack pipe, not give up, and throw a couple dollars at the child, and hopes that he'll make it up, hopes that he'll make it up, hopes that he'll make it up.
Just to say, we should never hesitate.
We should never hesitate.
Look behind us, yeah. Smiling as we walk away,
reminding me of Saturday
when things are the way they should be.
I need some water.
Man, just go, rough it out.
I need some water.
Oh, fuck it.
Can you just throw me some water, some vodka or something?
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Dez Hope. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
So should I just call you Dez Hope or,
I don't know.
Or Anthony? Really, what are you used to?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm at a point in my life where I've learned to just not really care. I don't know. my name's Anthony, and I don't hide away from that. I don't know. I like the Des Hope thing. It's something that I've used to, you know, kind of brand my music, and I'm okay with that. I think for a while I was like, hey, I'm Des Hope. When people like know me that way and they want to call me Des or Des Hope, it's cool. But I mean, I don't mind if they call me Anthony, you know.
And how'd you develop that idea for the name?
Yeah, when I first started writing poetry, when I was in like high school or whatever. The first poem I ever wrote when I was like 13 or whatever, I was in the hospital, you know, teenage angst. And so I started writing on a napkin watching Oprah or whatever. But it was like Dear Hope. So after that, you know, the rest of my like poetry writing, you know, in high school, I would like have an insignia at the end of my poetry that said Dear Hope, Dear Hope. And I even developed like a little logo, DH. I'm like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And then I get out of high school and I realize, you know, I'm actually pretty passionate about my music and, you know. At some point, I didn't really feel like Dear Hope was kind of the end-all, be-all version of that. So, right. You know, in a common conversation with a friend of mine, he suggested Des Hope. And after, like, I didn't get it. And he's like, well, because Des Hope. And then I'm like, all right. And then he's like, your last name's Mendez. And it kind of just fit. I think it's catchy. I don't know. You know, the older I get, the more I'm trying to understand the business side of music. And
right.
Just being accepting of that. So that's why when you answer your question, it's like it's a brand, you know.
Well, I mean, we'll get into sort of the details, the inner workings of what you mean, you know, politically and philosophically from Des Hope. But sort of like, just sort of briefly before we go into a live song, if you can, like, what are the what is sort of the mentality and what you're expressing in that sort of that there is hope in that statement?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I think in my music and in my work, I really try to have there be some sense of inspiration. Like, I think a lot of the work I write is based from my own, like, you know, personal experience, and it's very introspective. But I think I've learned to accept that at this moment. I think as I get older and I learn more, and I'll try to have my work be more transparent. But as it exists now, like, it stems from like really personal places. But I think I've learned that it actually relates to people. And so in that, I think, like, even when I'm, like, in my music talking about really, you know, messed up things or stuff that isn't necessarily positive, I think there's, like, an uplifting undertone, like, underneath it all. And I think when it's all said and done, like, I'm hoping that, you know, the experience of kind of just, be, you know, like, seeing my work and enjoying it or whatever would be something that would be inspiring. And I think, like, it's important to me to have that, you know, be a centerpiece of why I do what I do, because it's important to know that that there's a purpose behind it other than just, like, you know, masturbating on stage, like,
right,
just
which
to,
is
like,
very common now, which is,
yeah,
sort of like, just look at me, I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter,
yeah, like, hey, I'm talented, I'm,
yeah,
good looking, I got a machine behind me, like, let's rock out. And
yeah,
it's cool because, you know, I realize most people don't care about good music. You know,
it's true.
And they just want to be spoon fed something familiar, and, you know, particularly if they're drunk, they just want rhythm and bass. But I've learned to, you know, it's like I'm not even bitter about it. I think, like, you know, you understand that there's certain things that you enjoy. Like my influences aren't mainstream influences. You know what I mean? Like, what I have in my iPod isn't what, like, maybe like 60% of America would have in their iPod based,
right,
on their accessibility to mainstream music. So if I'm like trying to DJ a party, they probably boot me off stage with some of the tracks I'd be playing because, like, what is this? You know what I mean?
Do you think about that when you write your music, though?
No, not
like
really. Not anymore. I think every artist, like, goes through a period where they become really conscious of the supposed, like, audience. But, you know, you can't help but, at some point, because I think we all, you know, write music or do anything creative at an early age. You know, we do it for us. We do it for ourselves. We do it because it's therapeutic and it's a form of expression. And then you're like, well, I want to get serious about this. And then you start putting it out there as a product. Even if you're not necessarily making money off of it, you're still putting it out there as a product. And then you start sort of seeing what's working, what isn't working.
Right.
And then you become conscious of that, you know, and you start necessarily, you can't help but at some point have that factor in your creative decision making, you know. But ultimately, you have to find a balance because I've realized the responsibility of an artist. You know what I mean? Like, you at some point, if you are an artist and you do feel like it's your responsibility to share and it's something that, like, you have to offer, it's kind of a selfish act to not consider, like, other people. Because,
right. Well, and that's part of the game, is, like, if you can write a song that's good enough so that people will listen to it, before they hear the lyrics, and then you kind of trick them by writing really good lyrical content, so you sort of con them into listening to your
message.
Well,
lyrics,
you know,
are the last things you hear anyway.
Right.
You know, like, it's
so,
like,
the music has to be good first, and then it's up to you if you want to fill that music with content.
Exactly. I mean, like, most, I mean, as I mean, as we listen to a song and develop, like, a relationship with the song, it's like a, you know, a woman or whatever. Like, you first see, like, oh, she's hot, she's wearing, you know, she's sexy, she's got this nice dress on, and, like, at the end of the day, the last thing that you'll be affected by is, like, her personality and her brain. And but that's going to be what keeps you. You know what I mean?
Right. That so ultimately ends up being the most important thing,
exactly,
even though it wasn't what hooked you in the
exactly.
first place.
It's ultimately
yeah.
the most important thing, even though it's the last part of the whole puzzle. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah. Like, exactly. So, like, because it's not, you're not, I mean, it's not like you see someone on the street, like, oh, man, I love her brains. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't. And but at the end of the day, like, when you're listening to a song that has a great beat, has a great melody, it's catchy. But if the lyrics, like, don't affect you, if you're not, like, if you're not actually moved by them, in, like, 2 weeks, it's going to be done. It's going to be tired, and you're not going to want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's jump into a live song. What do you want to play for us first?
You know, I did this this show at with Pocho Joe Hernandez Kolsky and DJ Jedi, who's doing his thing in LA, and he does a weekly or a biweekly open stage for high school kids, and I realized that I have a lot of love songs because they invited me, particularly because it was like pre-Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm on like a special Valentine's
Day. Oh, yeah,
Day.
It is Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I feel like even though my girlfriend doesn't want to celebrate it, which is probably better in the long run. I'm going to play a song that isn't very Valentine's Day-ish, but I feel like I need to play it.
What's it called?
It's called Y Papa.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Des Hope.
But having a good time, hard to hate my life with all of the sunshine. I'm fine, get my friends to buy me drinks sometimes. Tell the world just what I think. Having sex off of the sick man, enough to rock the pink shirt at work. I flirt, but it's harmless. Nothing's cool enough to not be burnt by my warmness. Armed with the seagull, cause it's water's warm. I'm just sitting at home, smoking blunts, playing with monsters. Wondering if I were ever going to influence this talent I am blessed with. Obsessed with me, cause that's all I'm really left with. Ecstasy is like sex with me, man. In my 20s, tested. Wonder if I'm past it. Tell you when I'm 30, take my wallet, open it, and I will tell you in a hurry. Come on, worry, but not really. Every time I mess around, most fuckers for me, prego. De amor y papa. No dice premona, no dice nada. Pregunte amor y papa. No dice premona, no dice nada. Pregunte amor y papa. No dice premona, no dice nada. I feel outrageous. It seems like everything around me now contagious, like car crashes, no patience, whackness. Kids in the valley loving the blackness. In fact, it's just making me sick. Like a young girl bragging about taking the it hurts me. Punch walls, start breaking my fists. I shut the hell up and, you know, start pleading the fifth. Cause I stay hungry, so clueless, with no knowledge on how to do this. He has got it since Cupid. Dude comes down and shoots my ass. Fucking fluids, I got love, but always abuse it. I'm afraid I treat everyone like my music. And that ain't shit sometimes. So that ain't shit sometimes. Pregunté amor y papá, no dice Bramona, no dice nada. Pregunté amor y papá, no dice Bramona, no dice nada.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Des Hope. Des, where are you from originally?
Born and raised.
In L.A.?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of that going around these days.
You know, I'm very sensitive to that question, and I'm very sensitive to that response, because I grew up, like, near downtown, and most of my neighbors were from L.A., so.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really understand that reality of transplants and people that actually migrated to the city until.
But have you seen over the years that more and more people?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, you know, when I went to Hollywood High. So once I kind of got to Hollywood High, I mean, even as a high school student in Hollywood, all my peers were still natives of Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I got out of Hollywood and started actually kind of immersing myself as an adult in, like, Hollywood and, like, the West Side, you started to notice, like, oh, you know what? No one's from L.A. in these areas. You go to East L.A., everybody's from L.A.
Right.
You go to South Central, everybody's from L.A.
Has the sort of surge in transplanting affected the culture in East L.A., or is it
not,
still...
Not yet, but you see it. I mean, I currently live in Boyle Heights, and you can slowly notice the changes. I mean, I feel like I'm living in Echo Park, like, in 1995.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel it. Because geographically... And just the landscape of, like, Boyle Heights, it's like you just sense it. Like, if you know the minds and how they work of, like, contractors and people that invest into, I mean it's already happening. It's not even an idea anymore. I mean, they're pumping millions and millions of dollars in that neighborhood to really, you know, gentrify it and make it kind of, because, you know, it, because of just the whole urbanization of like all these major cities in the country, like. Down, you know, LA's downtown is actually starting to become something. And
right.
So, like, the neighboring areas, like, Boyle Heights is just over, like, the 4th and 1st Street and 6th Street bridges away from downtown. So it's just, like, literally practically downtown adjacent. So it has that. And it's like a little Brooklyn, man. It's, like, it's beautiful. It's, like, really got a lot of hills. And I live right across the street from, like, Hollenbeck Park, where there's a lake. And it's, you just know, like, you know, you just know it's not going to stay. It's not, I mean, like, I kind of freak out when I'm at the market and I see, like a white dude. And and it's funny because I grew up, like, I'm probably overly, even, you know, in some of my family's eyes, I'm, like, really just open and mellow. So it's not like I'm, like, I trip, but I just started to understand, like, that protective sense of, like, feeling like there's something infringing
sort
on,
of, like, the ethnic geography is changing, and it's,
yeah,
you know,
and
changing
independently
of you. And
in that, you almost can kind of relate to other people that maybe will begin to, like, initially discriminate against that,
right,
simply based on there's, like, a new element that people aren't comfortable with. And I think a lot of, like, discrimination kind of stems from that. And trying to understand that psychology, because it's easy to just, like, look at the results of, like, racism and bigotry and you know, and sexism and all the isms that suck, like, and just kind of just, like, you know, look at it as evil. But then I think when we kind of find ourselves, like, internally, like, catching ourselves and, like, whoa, like, I just had a moment where I'm like, who's that white boy? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a trip. It's an interesting experience to kind of see the changing of a neighborhood that you currently love. You know what I mean?
How has this cultural landscape affected your music? Like, I hear influences, obviously Latin influences in your music. There's urban American hip hop influences. There's even some,
yeah,
like, suburban
soul,
pop American,
yeah,
influences.
Yeah,
you know?
I have some really cheesy, like, poppy songs too. I think I'm a product of my experience of growing up as, like, a really, like, fortunate kid in a city like Los Angeles where you're able to just be exposed to so many things, you know? Like, I went to a lot of, you know, like, art-based schools growing up and had the opportunities to, like, have the opportunity to meet people from a lot of different cultures. I mean, when I was, like, in the sixth grade, my best friends were, like, from Iran and Vietnam and like, I had, you know, had this Jewish friend that, like, totally, like, invited me to bar mitzvah, and that just rocked my world. I had no idea what that was, you know? So just, like, to be exposed to that kind of stuff right at an early age, and then to just love music from, like, I mean, I love music. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you love music, too, where you just, like, you just fiend for something good. You don't really necessarily care, like, what genre it is. You know
yeah
what I mean?
When you get that, it's exactly like that, too, because you spend a lot of time listening to music that's just sort of okay.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing with movies, too.
Right.
And then, like, you know, it's like, ah, you know, I saw this movie, it was all right. You know, I heard the song, you don't even remember it. And then maybe once in a blue moon, once, in my case, it's once a week because I have this show. But,
right,
like, you know, it's like you get that one song, you're like, wow, this is a great song. You know, and that's your
yeah
fix for
yeah
the week. You
yeah
feel
totally
good about music until it starts
really
to fade away.
It doesn't really, yeah, well, because we want our music, we want our art to just, like, you know, reflect our emotions at the moment. And then sometimes you're like, well, we don't want to feel that way no more. I'm done,
yeah,
you know? It's like, all right, I was last week, y'all. Like, I'm ready for a new song.
Ready to move on.
Yeah.
Let's listen to another track from the CD that you brought in. What are these tracks from? You have an album you're working on?
You know, actually, I've done, like, a lot of recordings of different stages of like, my music the last couple of years, and I'm finally going to take, like, a lot of my early recordings, like, in the last couple of years that have been actually pretty well produced, and just clean. The guy who actually originally produced it, he's cleaning them up right now, and we're just going to put it out. We're going to press it. We're going to, I mean, like, I'm a little, like, I have mixed emotions about it because I have so much new material since then.
Right.
But I feel like since I haven't really put out anything hard and physical, like, I need to kind of, like, have that be the first stage of this whole process and just accept that and, like, know that even though it's old to me, it's still probably new to everybody else.
Yeah, and you got to build your audience. You got to give them something to take away
and
from
I
your
think
shows.
To be perfectly honest, I think that material is a lot more accessible than I think of the stuff that not only am I doing now, but I want to continue to do in the future.
So you can earn their trust with this music,
yeah,
and then play around a little more with the next one. Yeah.
Like, I think the arrangements and the just the song influences are a little more like pop, you know what I mean? Like, even though I feel like my style isn't necessarily, like, typically pop, but I think just the melodies and stuff like that, it's a little more
yeah
pop. And you know, it's an interesting relationship with your music because you have to kind of, like, because it's so not, you know, it's funny because I was arguing with my producer yesterday and I was like, dude, this song, these are cheesy. It's not me. And he's like, you wrote these songs. You know what I mean? Like, you wrote,
yeah,
no one put a gun to your head and recorded these songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is you. Sometimes you do art that you don't even like, you know, you can't, it's just coming out of you, you know?
Totally.
But you know, you get time to work on it, you know, and then it sort of becomes your own again.
And you just learn to move on, man. Like, you can't dwell on stuff because it's just like, it's the same relationship you have with the stuff you're saying where, like, it's your song of the week. It's the same thing as an artist. You know what I mean? That's why we write music. That's why we write, you know, we draw is because we want to have that feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you move on, but you still have something. You're like, well, you got to use it. You know, it's you, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. We'll play this track and we'll come back and we'll talk a little more and do some more live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. And my guest is Des Hope.
Sold a pizza. We still got beer in the fridge. Let's make new pizza. Oh, geez. Jesus, time flies by. Let's please just enjoy life and leave this stress behind. We need this right to shine. Right to find magic in our bones, magic in our homes. Imagine passion like it was a dawn. Peeking out from the only woman sitting all alone. Love life like women love, love songs. Mud slides my ties, push across the night skies. I find that my best in life's spies. And I like breath, but man, I love my thighs. The chest is nice, so I suggest we all fly like Michael. Brand our own names on our own shoes in high school. I hope you live life like I do. Oh, life, it's a precious cycle. Oh, life, it's a precious cycle. Yeah, I love life without a wife. Why picket fences? And did I mention without a pension? Yeah, I love life more than I love attention. Beautiful women and sexual tension. Yeah, I love life more than I hate deception. Retention in me when I forget to question everything. I love life like it's going out of style. Going out of style.
And we're back on Is Good on KillRadio.org with Des Hope. So we were talking earlier in the show about this whole idea that there is hope, that you have to talk about things that, you know, maybe aren't too pleasant, but we do have that one saving grace that there is hope that things will get better.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was having dinner and we were arguing about Barack versus Hillary. And I was like, I took a step back and I was like, that's a phenomenal conversation.
Yeah, you know it really is, right?
Like that, like the simple fact that we're talking about this right now is really inspiring. Like,
yeah,
it put me in a really good mood, and I think that was just sort of an example of like, yeah, man, like I think it's a tough life, man. You really have to, you know, struggle and go through a lot of like obstacles, but I think when you find the strength in yourself or can witness the strength in other people to like understand that there's a beauty at the end of the road. Like, I think, you know, phrases like there's hope or other like things that like are inspiring, like, you know,
but what are some of these things that you think that we need hope for that you know, that you feel within you, you really have to write about?
Well, I think up to this point, a lot of my work has been probably like about, you know, self-exploration, love and loss. I think I have some, you know, politically like charged references in my work, but I don't think I've written nearly as much as I could have, and I think I will continue to explore.
Is that important? You want to sort of get a political message?
I think at this point in my life, I'm understanding that importance, and I think as I continue to like work on new material, I think that's going to be a big part of like my approach. I think at this point in my life, a lot of my work has been about love and loss and just kind of really, you know, like basic human emotions and kind of applying that philosophy of there's hope to those types of ideas. But I think I understand it's important to talk about what's going on, especially as a Latino, especially as like a citizen, you know, in this country at you know, at a time where they're really, we really, you know, are desperately in need of like vehicles to push out like information that isn't necessarily being disseminated, and really just trying to like, you know, like help people unite, because we have so many people that are just like unhappy about certain things, and I feel like there is just a general sense of hopelessness.
Well, do you feel like your political perspective is sort of a product of your environment? I mean, growing up in Los Angeles,
my sister's like a hardcore political activist, so it's almost like it's almost.
But there's so much to be hardcore about. If you, what I'm saying, from Los Angeles, I mean, like, yeah. South Central Farmers, yeah. And there's so many things going on.
And she does her very best, you know.
Yeah. To is she a big influence on you?
I think she has been. I mean, like, I think I've definitely grown to kind of, you know, be okay with viewing things slightly different than her.
Uh-huh.
But she, you know, she's 6 years older than me. She's like, you know, she's someone that I have like complete admiration towards because of just the life that she leads and the work that she does, and it's just very. You know, she works with inner city struggle, and she's just like a serious, like a serious player in the Boyle Heights, like, you know, politic, like, spectrum of, like, all the changes, and especially with, like, Villaraigosa and all his, you know, his motives about the school district, like, mm-hmm. she's really, I mean, like, you're right, there are a lot of things to be political about and to be hardcore about, but things like education, like, those are just, like, pretty, like, fundamentally, like,
right.
you know, like, there's just a serious need for a foundation in that, you
yeah.
know, so those are pretty concrete, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's always those universal things that we should all agree on or, like, try to come to an agreement on. But if you live in a place like Los Angeles and most urban centers sure. of the U.S., is there's just so it's so much easier to be able to reach out and grab onto to something that's worth fighting for because you can see it. It's right in front of you. You're not just hearing about it on, you know.
Yeah,
in
as opposed TV to being maybe, like, you know, in
you're not
a small
so far
town
removed from
in
it,
the Midwest
yeah.
or something. I can relate to that. I mean, I guess I didn't really understand what you were meaning by that. I, as a, like, to be in L.A. as opposed to, like, growing up in another environment
right.
where it wouldn't be nearly as accessible. Then, yeah, like, I think even in that, it's ironic because I probably am – you know, more politically aware of certain things than I would not have been growing up in a different environment. But in that, because it's so around me, I feel like I'm not doing enough. And I feel like...
Right.
You
have,
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You have that,
like,
fire in you. You got to do something
I
about
just, like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like definitely like not doing enough to... And that's what I meant about like my work. Like, I feel like if I'm not going to be out in the streets marching and being like my sister, like actually, you know, having her career be like... politically charged where she wakes up and her the nature of her job is to like seriously be about social change in some
right,
way
make
like
change.
If I'm gonna be an artist then I'm gonna have to, you know, try to find different ways to use my art to have, you know, express like certain like ideas that I have or just, you know, like philosophies or just a sense of like political hope when, you know, there hasn't been much the last couple of years.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's and that's like one of the responsibilities of the artist, right?
Yeah,
is to make change.
I think that's the struggle of an artist is to understand the responsibility of an artist because it's such a narcissistic thing to be an artist. You know what I mean? It's so about you and it's about you and it's about you and you don't really know what it is to be selfish and what it is to be selfless in that craft because sometimes you think you're being selfless by you know, like doing certain things, but you're being selfish. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, if you have a skill, if you have like a God-given or whatever, like a just a natural talent that you've developed into a skill, like it's your responsibility to put it out there.
Yeah.
Because like I haven't made much or any money at all with my music at this point in my life, and I'm, you know, I'm in my mid-20s, and I'm like, wow, like what's keeping me going? You know what I mean? And like what keeps me going is knowing that like. I affect people and even if it's on a small scale, like I feel like there's a responsibility to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cause if I played shows right now and people weren't enjoying them and people didn't get excited about just, you know, the music that I create, even on a small local level, like, and I completely accept that, I wouldn't do it. Like if I didn't have people like excited about it, like I wouldn't, there'd be no reason for me to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, dude, time is flying by,
sorry,
and I haven't
I'm
gotten.
So sorry.
No, it's not. It's my fault actually, because I've been enjoying this conversation so much, and I just looked at the clock and I realized how much time has gone by, and I want to get more live songs out
sure,
of you.
Sure, sure.
Before
you know what's
we
funny?
Run out
I'm all politically riled up, and I'm gonna play a love song.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, well, love is political too.
Yeah, especially on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, make sure you play your cards right today.
Play my cards. I know that's. I'm so poker now, man. I'm learning.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Des Hope. What are you going to play for us?
This is a song that's called Am I So Far? And I'm glad I have the opportunity to say the title of the name because sometimes I think people think I'm saying On My Sofa. So.
All right, let's do it.
Maybe I will sit
next to you, crazy how we fit. Sex for you, better when you bite. Thought about it, don't say it, girl. Just show me what you like, scratch my back hard. Scream, you can only be so quiet. Beg me to pull your hair when I'm in the backyard. Then I know I'm doing right, like a track star looking back. And you know, only seeing lights. Looking back at past relationships, I'm only seeing fights. So tonight, get the handcuffs and I promise I'll be nice for the rest of your life. Rest of your life, rest of your life. I hope you find things beautiful enough to keep you smiling. Even when I touch you from behind, babe, I mean, sitting up when we're outside in public, that's all I can touch. I hope you find things beautiful enough to keep you smiling. Even when I touch you from behind, babe, I mean, sitting up when we're outside in public, that's all I can touch so far. With your head on my shoulder, with you in my sofa, oh yeah, in my sofa. 'Cause I'm not afraid to say it, spray it on the wall, scream and shout it at my boss to let her know I'm getting lost, trying to move it slow. You know, take a pause, estimate about the cost, like maybe if she left I wouldn't hesitate to elevate my status, take a hut and toss it aboard the love train and then just try to fly, suck, I was bored. The ugly games that I play make it so hard to like me, but easy to love me. Never seems to change, face to rearrange, and it's kind of strange when you read the same book, open up the same page, and I'm tired of feeling amazing things when I just wanna bring you home. A wedding ring, I hope you find things beautiful enough to keep you smiling. But when I touch you from behind, babe, I mean, sitting up when we're outside in public, that's all I can touch. I hope you find things beautiful enough to keep you smiling. A couple when I touch you from behind, babe, I mean, sitting up when we're outside in public, that's all I can touch so far. With your head on my shoulder, with you in my sofa, oh yeah, in my sofa, in my sofa, in your head, love, with you in my sofa, in your head, love, with you in my sofa. Do anything for you, girl. Just ask me to. Do anything for you, girl. Just ask me to.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Des Hope. Dude, let's talk about your instruments, your guitar and your voice. How did you develop the talent for both of those?
I started playing the guitar. I was like maybe 15, 16. I wish I would have started earlier. And I started writing poetry and singing in high school. I think I kind of, like, I was acting growing up, you know? Like, I was kind of an acting kind of kid. I went to Hollywood High. I did, like, mostly acting there. And, like, junior, sophomore year is when I kind of started writing music. And
did you teach yourself the guitar?
Yeah, I don't know how to read music. I don't know what the heck I'm doing, man. I'm just trying to do it. I mean, at some point, I feel like I need, you know, I don't know. At this point, I don't even know anymore whether I need to kind of improve technically. I think as long as I just continue to be disciplined about writing and exploring things I don't know and continue my process, I think if I get lazy, then I won't get better. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't know if I necessarily need to change my method, per se. You know what I mean?
When you first started playing guitar, were there certain artists that were heavy influences
on
you?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started playing guitar... I mean, I don't know any particular. Like, I mean, at the time I played guitar, I listened to, like, you know, a lot of, like, trip hop. I was listening to Tricky. I was listening to, I listened to Ben Harper and like, a lot of, you know, like, I don't know, indie, rock. I just, hip hop. I don't know. I feel like nothing. I have so many influences that it's really hard for me to be like, oh, yeah, this is, like, you know what got me going was, like, that song by Suzanne Vega, the Tom's Diner remix. Like, that song is so, like, if you, like, that's definitely, like, a top 10 inspirational joint for me. Just because, like, I think a lot of my songs have that feeling, or right. at least strive to try to
so
have
So, like,
that
it was
feeling.
Always, there was always sort of a beat in your head to go along with the guitar that you're playing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, my see, the funny thing is, like, my guitar was always just, like, a vehicle or, like, you know, a vessel to have my poetry have, like, a platform. And then my singing, you know, it just kind of came along. You know, I wasn't necessarily, like, you know, a train. I mean, I took some choir classes, but it's like if you do something long enough, you're just going to get better at it.
What about the first time that you got up in front of people and sang?
I think I was, like, in high school, and we did, like, these weekly, like, lunch performances called Thursday Theater. And it was really dope. You paid a quarter.
Awesome.
And I did a cover of Pearl Jam's Elderly Woman Behind the Counter. And it was I seem to recognize your face. And that was, like, the first time I kind of started. I was, like, in a bunch of bands in high school, but they never performed.
What about Is Des Hope? What about the first time you went up there with your own work?
I was at Genghis Cohen, and that was my first gig. Like, I'm an artist. And
that's a
gig.
Popular place to start out, actually.
Yeah,
Genghis
I mean,
Cohen,
I
like, that,
you know, the beginning of my music, like, I'm taking my stuff seriously, process. Like, I had a manager and I had a band. Everything was looking fresh. I was having meetings with labels. I was like, oh, man. I'm doing it, you know. Everything obviously fell apart, but
it was all illusion to begin with.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was just like it was all fantasy. Like it was, I was just, I had my head up my own ass. Like I didn't know what the hell was going on, but yeah. So he was booking all my gigs in the beginning, so I didn't know what the heck I was doing,
and
I played there.
Were you comfortable?
I was nervous. I was really nervous. Yeah. I think it took me starting to play acoustically to kind of find my zone where, like, feeling really comfortable and just kind of owning your stage and owning, like, who you are and knowing that, like, at that moment what you have to offer is just gonna be the best that you can offer and just not really worry about it, you know.
What does your audience get out of your performances? Have people come up to you afterwards?
Yeah, when I'm on, like, when I have a good show, because I feel like I do certain things that lend themselves to inconsistent performances because of my desire to explore or my desire to try different things. So I don't like stick to, like, a conservative, like, set list. And sometimes it really is amazing. And sometimes it isn't so much, you know. And then I'm trying to find that, like, that balance. But when I'm, like, on and the show's just, like, going really well, like, you know that, like, people are just into it. Like, because I think, especially as a singer-songwriter and not having any rhythm, like, you know, I don't have any rhythm and bass behind me. So, like, to have a successful performance, I think, is to have everybody shut the hell up.
Right.
As opposed to being like a band where you don't really necessarily need that. You know what I mean? Like.
Right. But in your case, it's just you up there. Like, people
don't
need to be watching
and
listening.
Exactly. It's more of like a performance, you know? So, like, when you're in a band, you want people to be loud and rowdy and having a good time because you don't really care. You got the bass and the drums to just, like, go over it anyway.
And your music is very much about words, too.
Exactly.
People got to be able
to hear the words. Yeah, if you can't really. It has to be very. As it exists in its perform, like, acoustic element. I mean, if I have a band behind me, then I don't think that it takes it in a different element. But as I've been performing over the last year or two as a solo acoustic artist, it's kind of necessary, I think, to have like a really wide, like, attention during my performance, because I think at that point, it's like when you're on stage, and I'm sure anybody that, like, does it that's really good and more successful at it than I am. Like, when you know you have people's attention, like, it's really liberating, because then you know, like, you have them. So you're just now, like, you're pumped up, you're inspired, you're ready to give it. And then it becomes, like, this dance that you're playing with your audience, as opposed to just being on stage and, like, having no one pay attention to you. And the only way you can cope with that is to not pay attention to them.
Right.
So you're just completely disconnected. You know what I mean? And, like, and that's not a good show, dude. Like, you might, you know, and I think those moments where I have good shows, quote unquote, where I know I'm on and people are enjoying it and we're, like, having that, like, on stage audience sort of, like artist relationship, like, it is validated at the end when people are coming up to you and, like, you know, really just kind of, you know, letting you know that they appreciate, you know, they enjoyed it. And it's like that just, you know, it keeps me going, man. When I have those good shows and people are like all into it, like, it's really like, it's kind of overwhelming, you know, because you're just like, I think over the years, people believed in me more than I believed in myself, you know? Mm-hmm. So people, like, were like, what are you doing playing this, you know, shithole gig?
Do you have followers now? I think I do, recognize at each show?
To some degree. Like, I think in L.A., you have your big shows and you have your small shows until you really, really got, like, something to push behind you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have shows where you don't have a lot of people, and then you have shows where you have a lot of people, and you're like, whoa.
I'm curious. Do you get put on the bill with hip-hop acts or singer-songwriter acts, or is it kind of hit or miss?
That's kind of the struggle behind that, because I feel like, you know, I'm kind of an enigma in some degree, where if I play with, like, a bunch of other, like, singer-songwriters, like, they're probably a little more, like, folk-based or a little more mellow, mm-hmm. just in terms of, like, what else would be out there. And with bands, I'm a good opening act for, like, a band that probably has, like, eclectic influences, I think. That's, like, a good spot for me. Because, you know, because I'm setting up something with a lot more energy.
Right.
But, I still have, obviously, something to offer at this point, you know. But, you know, if you got your own thing, then you can headline it. You know, it's like you could play it, you know, Pantages or whatever.
Do you see yourself sort of rising up in that way? Like, as you develop your craft, your music is evolving? And
I think for the first time I'm allowing myself to kind of visualize those sort of things. Because I think I've been afraid to, because of just, like, the fear that I might be, allowing myself to believe and perceive things that may not necessarily be accurate. But I think for the first time in my life, I'm like, you know, it's okay to truly believe in myself. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Well, it also goes back to what we were talking about before about responsibility as an artist. I mean, if you get to that level, your responsibility is even greater because you have that many more people listening to you.
And I think I'm kind of preparing myself for that. If that ever comes or not, I think I'm preparing myself for the sacrifices that I think you have to make to be successful as an artist. You know, because it's there's so many talented people out there that don't allow themselves to be successful because of their own demons and their own, they're just desire to not have to be responsible for their talents. Because once you put it out there, once you affect people, once you become successful in your craft, like, you are now, like, committed to that in a way that it's like you can't get up and say you don't want to do this. You can't get up and, you know what I mean, you don't, like, you're married to that life, and you have to be prepared to, like, to live it. And it's not just about writing music, you know. If you just want to write music, you can go rent a house on the hill and just go write music
and sell your songs to other performers.
And you can go all hippie about it, you know. But if you're, like, struggling in LA trying to quote unquote do something with your music, like, you kind of have to be prepared to know what success is, because I think a lot of people just want to, you know, they understand that they love music, and they understand that they have, you know, talent, they have skill, and they're putting it out there and people like it, but they might not necessarily understand what success would bring in terms of their responsibilities. Because you have to kind of know that you can't have time. You have to, you know, be professional. You have to kind of wake up every day, and
it has to be your priority.
Like, you have to, like, do your music like you do your day job every single day. You get up, you take a shower, and you work. And I think you have to incorporate that, like, mindset before any success will come, because that only innate, like, you won't have success unless you act you know what I mean? Like,
right. But in music, the shower is optional, I think.
Well, yeah, especially if you're in Oregon. You know what I mean? I hear.
Dude, let's do some more live songs before we run out of time.
Okay.
What do you have in mind?
I don't know. Let me play.
By the way, you can go to myspace.com/DEZHOPE to learn more about Des Hope and what he's up to. And when we get back from a song, we'll talk about where you're playing next and where people can get some of your music.
Okay, I'm going to play a song called Until I Belong. It's an old song. It's kind of a... It kind of feels like a teenage song, even though I wrote it, like, in my 20s. But I'm okay with that, because I think some, you know, teenage, you know, it's like, I feel like it's almost like a character song now. But
cool. All right.
It's called Until I Belong.
You listen to Is Good on killradio.org.
And I will say it, yeah, 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 yeah. Everything is okay, yeah, 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 yeah. Today one's fair, yeah, 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 yeah. So my heart won't sing songs until I belong, until I belong. Hurts when I rhyme, hurts when I'm fine. My biggest fear is that my talent won't get dispersed in its prime. Cause most of the time I'm coasting my mind, posting my spine. Relax from reclining, you might find me just wasting some time. Cause I lost so many things in my lifetime. Countless women, women, talents given to me at nighttime. My battle scars shine across my timeline. Open me, open me, open me up, and you might find a child's mind intertwining with the city skyline. I can bathe me in holy water, save me in hospitals with IV indentures, needles and weapons. My breakfast was second, yo, I threw up just to get attention. 9 years old and the nurse gave me erections. So when childlike, I hesitate to even mention. But now I'm growing up, I got to worry about a pension plan. But no one ever taught me how to be a man. But I walked around with my feet up in the head in the sand. No lesson plan, no one ever taught me how to grab and clutch a woman's hand. But now I'm 23 and in demand. Catch me walking the streets and show these streets that I can. Catch me walking the streets and show these streets I am a man. And I will say, yeah, 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 yeah. Everything is okay, yeah, 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 yeah. To everyone's fair, yeah, 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 yeah. So my heart won't sing songs until I belong, until I belong, until I belong. Sores and blisters, cause nails and mini skirts don't catch my interest. I need to know it really hurts. Been told it's silly, but I converse in the worst way. My words are bridges you can walk through on the first day. I move fast like a curse. Say, if I met you on this money, then I'll know you by next Thursday. Cause every day I'm rehearsing for the last day. So when my last day comes around, it's almost passe. Been there, done that, son. This is what I might say. Is what I might say. Is what I might say. I'm old enough to feel like I can live life in the right way. But I'm old enough to realize I'm just being naive. No. Old enough to realize that I'm just being naive. And I will say, yeah, 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 yeah. Everything is okay, yeah, 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 yeah. To everyone's fair, yeah, 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 yeah. So my heart won't sing song until I belong. Until I belong. Until I belong. Until I belong.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. If you want to hear this again, or if you want to recommend it to a friend, we will be podcasting on iTunes as well as having it available for download from myspace.com/thisisgood at some point later today. My guest is Des Hope. What's up with hip-hop?
I don't know.
Why is it so bad so often these days? I mean, well, if you go to any kind of hip-hop radio station, like I can't find anything to listen to.
You know?
But at the same time, there's all sorts of great underground hip hop going on,
and even I hate a lot of great underground hip hop because I don't think it's that great.
But why is it so easy?
You know what it is? I just think it's found itself at a point where like it's, you know, commercially, it's gone to a point where like, cause
you know, let me rephrase the question. What are you as a hip hop artist? I know you're more than just a hip hop artist, but just looking at yourself as a hip hop artist, what do you want to avoid doing?
Well, I think I still even struggle with the idea of even identifying myself as a hip-hop artist. Even though I feel like I'm obviously strongly influenced by hip-hop, I think based on, like, the question that you answered, I think what's wrong with hip-hop is the fact that I am probably not a hip-hop artist.
Okay.
In the sense that, like, and that really sounds retarded. I mean, like,
well, you use hip hop in your work, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think I think artists and groups and acts and bands or whatever that are actually trying to push the envelope and try different things, like other than myself, I think it came off pretty bad, are not being accepted by quote unquote hip hop audiences because mm-hmm. of the fact that, like, hip hop has, you know, I don't know. I think hip hop is really it's a complicated. Industry that has not a lot to do with the actual music, and I think it's kind of like what happened to jazz, man. Like, it's just like at some point you just don't, like, I'm hoping that it could, like, turn into something that, like, allows itself to be reinvented a little,
because sure, like the pendulum is just swinging back one day.
Yeah, but at this point it's just really, you know, I just think that hip hop, as its original form, was, like, you know, an outlet for, like particularly, like, Black urban youth. You know what I mean? And, like, and as that and then that was, like, East Coast, and then all of a sudden it became an outlet for Black, you know, like, urban youth on the West Coast, and then that became kind of like its own, like, then it started being, then, like, you know, major record companies were able to capitalize on that. So now it's like, what's wrong with hip hop is no one's really allowed to be themselves, man. Like, you have MCs, you have MCs that, like, they feel like they have to, like, put on an act, and they feel like they have to kind of represent a certain image that, like, is status quo for them to make a living off of it, and they're afraid because it's like, you know, they don't feel like, it's like you have the choice to either, you know, sell out and talk about certain things, and they'll put you on the radio and get you the actual kind of, like, attention from you know, big wigs that will actually put some money behind you, or make hip hop that's conscious or whatever, and
but then people don't get to hear it because it doesn't get picked up by a label,
and you're underground, and yeah. It's like, and I think what's wrong with hip-hop is the MCs that have the ability to actually give in a little won't. You know what I mean? So the MCs that are actually making it are capitalizing on the opportunities of being, like, above mediocre at best.
Right.
Like, the really talented ones are just, like, they don't want to play the game, man. Like, because you have to give in. Like, we're talking about success, dude. Like, you have to make sacrifices. You know, you have to give in a little. And there's certain things about, like, being excessively mainstream. Like, you can't, you know, it's like you, I was watching, like, VH1 or Public Enemy, or, like, MTV, and they're talking about Public Enemy. And, like, how adamant Chuck D was about, like, having Flavor Flav in the group.
Uh-huh.
Because without Flavor Flav, like, they are not mainstream accessible. You know what I mean?
Right. Without, like, a funny character yeah. with, like, a big,
like,
clock around his neck.
They're thick, dude. Yeah. Like, without them, they're just really, really hardcore political hip-hop group. And then it would have never reached, like, the, like, level of fame that they, you know, because Chuck D was, dude, he was a genius, man. He got it. He's like, I have a message, and that might be too hardcore without some, like, sugarcoating.
Without some clown in the front, like.
And I think if you're writing conscious hip hop, like, you have to kind of understand that type of sugarcoating mentality, whether it's your own Flavor Flav or not. It's like, if you're gonna try to, you know, like, be someone that isn't gonna fit in the mode of, like, you know, being Jiggy or gangster or talking about ice or you know, or just, like, sex, or having that just be, like, the basis of all your lyrics.
Well, like, even the beats seem to have changed tremendously just in the past, like, 5 years. Like, if you listen to any, like, hip hop station, there's three notes someone's playing on a keyboard, and then there's this, like, incredibly minimal beat. But it used to be, like, from what I can tell, you know, bands like Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul, they had these, like, really moving, dynamic, you know, jazz-oriented beats, you know?
But I think, I think that still exists. I just think that, like, it's, you know, it's now, like, you got to understand that
it exists.
Like,
it's just not readily available.
Well,
you got to find
it. The funny thing about it is what's, like, the people like, you know, not Tribe Called Quest anymore, but, like, De La Soul and Common, and, like, they're still doing albums. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are, like, the people that we're still looking for, like, mainstream hip hop that isn't, like, it's like these guys are 40, man. Like,
yeah.
and. I don't know. It's a really interesting question. I try to not be negative about it, because I've been negative about it for so long that I feel like I'm not so concerned about the music, because the music, you know, with hip hop, it's not really about the music as much as it is about just the overall vibe that it's creating. Because I'm okay with like three chord progression, like really simplistic tracks. Like I'm okay with it, because it's like if you have a dope melody and you have like, you know, some fun lyrics in it, you know, it's like some. I think hip hop has become like drunk party music, and
yeah,
and that's really the purpose it's serving, you know.
Well, at least there's hope. Right, for a future with where it can be more than that.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I mean, because I know that my nephew, who's 7, he just turned 17. I'm really disappointed in the fact that he has to, like, you know, get records from like 1996 to actually listen to good hip hop, and that's kind of, you know, like it's really sad when you see kids that like know like Mary J. Blige's first album lyrics like the back of their hand. I'm like, this is the year 2007. Like it's dope, and it's flattering that like the music that I grew up to like is still rocking for the kids of the youth. But it's like they need to have something for themselves.
They should be some new stuff for them to latch onto.
Exactly, they need to have something for themselves.
Yeah, and there's so much negativity in contemporary music right now. Though it's like I think a lot of kids are latching onto that, and I think
that happens with them. I mean, I think that's going on with just mainstream music in general. I think like the post like garage rock that was created like in the early 2000s and the kind of electro clash sort of 80s influenced rock that's been kind of popularized over the last like 5-6 years. I think that's successful, but overall, like, just, you know, with I think the record industry is just in really bad place, because they're still, you know, they just don't know what to do with MP3s, and they don't know what to do with pushing products right now. So they're just so not taking chances right now. It's not even a position to like be flexible about. They're like, what's hot, they'll sign something like that's like it, so we can try to make some money off of it. And that's it. There's no such thing as development right now.
Right.
You know, doesn't exist, because you can't take those chances.
Where are you playing next?
I'm playing that actually Cranes Transmissions. It's a weekly Tuesday. It's free. It's something to check out, even if I'm not playing when I'm not playing. But I am playing Tuesday at 10:30. It's free, and it's on El Centro between Selma and Hollywood, right across the street from Bally's.
Cool. Why don't we put on that third track from the CD, and we go feed our meters.
Cool.
Here you go. All right, so you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Des Hope. Stick around.
Recognizing daddy's got a mistress, like getting introduced to have brothers at a picnic. I found myself pondering, what if life flipped the script? If childhood is a precious time, I sure as hell missed it. Seemed the only fathering was money fostering emotions that had only been wandering, gaping at my dad as my eyes started watering. Wondering if he will show, wondering if he will grow, wondering if I can stop wondering and know that daddy stay long time, daddy no go. Yeah, it's summertime. Baby, it's summertime, yeah. It's summertime, and I'm feeling fine.
My relationship with time differs from time to time. Pictures of open wounds, a mixture of open minds. And now I mind time. Whenever I'm lost, I find time. Whenever I don't, my mind can't cope. The scope is too big for all the rope I bring. Right now, you see, I'm just enveloped in me. Too busy singing to see everything, to be everyone at any time. Anytime my time disappears. The fizz of all the years I spent swimming in tears. Come back and I can't relax. And I can't see past my past. And all those times my fattest fell asleep back in class. And all those times I crashed into trash and land in a bath full of ash. Pictures of family surrounding me, pounding me with past. I need time, but I need time to kiss my ass. Cause I know there are times when time does not exist. I know this cause I have kissed time that's swimming on the lips. I have sipped divine wine off the hips of time. I know that it does not exist. But of course I persist to find an explanation for this. I mean, how could time not exist? What about my first kiss? What about the fact that it would be my mother, not another, to be the first woman I miss and kiss on the cheek when she would leave me for weeks and have me seek refuge at the bottom of creeks?
It's summertime. Baby, it's summertime. It's summertime.
All right, and we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with Des Hope. We were just chatting a little bit about booking and the art of putting yourself on a stage. And it's, we agree, it's challenging. So we're just about out of time. Actually, we're about 15 minutes over time. But I'd like to get one more song out of you if I could. Is there a way people can get your music downloaded or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean... not yet, really. I mean, I have
You have songs up on MySpace, right?
I have songs on MySpace that are downloadable. I'm gonna be working with a couple different like websites to actually have like all my songs downloadable. But in terms of actually like purchasing a CD, I don't really have anything hard that's like a physically like, you know, end product that I'm like done, packaged, and like, you know, at Amoeba or anything. But right. I do have songs that will be downloadable. And I mean, at this point, my MySpace is kind of like the necessary evil of like access of information for me, right?
Yeah,
now.
It's pretty convenient. Yeah,
yeah, it is what it is, man. It's like this. It's like my new cell phone like struggle of feeling like I hate this thing, but it's a, you know, kind of a useful,
yeah,
part of my life.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with my phone, too. As I did with email when I first got it.
Email's fresh, though, because you don't have to talk to people.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like I do. I get an email, and I can't let it go. I have
when
to respond.
When you start getting emails to your phone, you know you've gone too far. You're like, dang, what am I doing?
Way ahead of you, pal. All right. So what are you going to play for us?
It's called Frequency.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Des Hope.
I to find my baby below this frequency. No, you won't. Jesus, know the song she sings for me. Try, I.
gotta find my baby below this frequency. She mangles the strings I bring, turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. Dangles the strings I bring, turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. Turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. Oh, oh. Turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. So I love the way you talk, love the way you check my ass on the bark, love the way you walk away with my heart nonchalant like it was yours from the start, love the way you test the way we fit in the dark, wrestling over who plays what part. I love the way you drop your art like little pebbles in the middle of a sexual embark, love the way you text message me from work that you hurt, cause I'm not there to ruffle up your skirt, and I'm on all day imagining myself in the rhythms of your sway. Said I keep asking myself if it's okay to call you again for like the 10th time today. And I know I have to work, but I think I wanna play with your panties. That's it, girl, so hand me them one by one, passionately. One by one, passionately. Cause you know, try I to find my baby below this frequency. No, you won't. The Jesus know the song she sings for me. Try I to find my baby below this frequency. She mangles the strings of brain, turns into rings and dreams of being loved. Mangles the strings of brain, turns into rings and dreams of being loved. The turns into rings and dreams of being loved. Oh, oh. Turns into rings and dreams of being loved. So listen up, little red rose, never falls in love. No more peddling to pick up petals. Think you had enough heavy metal trying to settle when you are something soft by your soloist who stands stuff with melodies impossibly bold enough to sing you notes when they're off and possibly hold onto your heart longer than your pops. And honestly, be there just to stay the rule. Rest me like a cop, baby, here just to stir away your fears from men who bear baggage like the bellies. Men who sell these promises of heaven when it's hell to giving. Always that and what you're getting, letting every minor thing affect you in upsetting ways. When I'm here just to hug you like you were seven, babe, was spit in your ear. I appreciate your presence, babe. It's your year. Be a queen and I'll be your peasant, babe. My love, you need to be seen by heavenly things. We all need to be loved. Oh yeah, we all need to be loved. Oh yeah, we all need to be loved. You know, try I to find my baby below this frequency. No, you won't. The Jesus know the song she sings for me. Try I to find my baby below this frequency. She mangles the strings I bring, turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. Mangles the strings I bring, turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. Turns them to rings and dreams of being loved. Oh, oh. Turns them to rings and dreams of being loved.
You've been listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest has been Dez Ho. Anthony, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, man. Thank you, John, for having me.
Love the music. Love what you're doing. Check out myspace.com/DezHope, DezHope, for more information on this artist. Also, check back to isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood for the archive of this interview and all interviews for the past year and a half. You've been listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.